the opportunity to gather today in service to the State College of Florida, our students, faculty, staff, and community. May our discussions be guided by wisdom, integrity, and respect. Grant us clarity in our decisions, unity in our purpose, and vision for the future of education. May the work we do here today strengthen the lives we touch and honor the mission we serve. Amen.
Amen.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
All right, now we are going to take a short adjournment of the regular meeting. I'm sorry. First, we're going to have public comment. Do we have public comment?
We do have public comment.
Okay. It's like I've never done this before. All right, Jason Reed.
So, Jason Reed, 3409 47th Street West, Bradenton, Florida. So, I just wanted to come before you guys and thank you for your support of FBLA, Future Business Leaders of America. This year so far, we have doubled our enrollment. We have 24 paid members. We've done several fundraisers, and I wanted to bring a couple of my students with me today, FBLA members. Sorry, I'm a little out of breath. We just got done with the fundraiser. So far this year, we've raised $500 for our travels. Our goal is $5,000. And I just wanted to show off our, you know, students that we have here that are the hopefully the future business leaders of our country. So,
can they introduce themselves?
Go ahead. What's your name?
I'm Justin Martinez.
I'm Josephine Niemeyer.
Yeah, if you want to ask any questions. I just wanted to let you guys know that we will be coming to all of our board meetings. At least two members are going to be here just to kind of, you know, be in the crowd to see what it is that you guys do. Because as they move up the ranks, obviously they are going to be a part of boards just like this. And I want them to see what it's all about.
Glad to have you.
Thank you.
Awesome. Thank you.
And then we stick around if you have any questions.
Wait,
we have questions.
Can you share what you're studying here?
Yeah, so I'm originally from Germany, so I'm an exchange student. This is my second year, and I'm finishing my AA here in liberal arts, and right now I'm in the process of applying to universities to study business with concentration on real estate.
My name is Jeff Goodyear. I've been a freshman at SCF, and hence this is my first year. My goal is to take as much involvement as I can to serve all of you in the best way I can with my leadership skills I've developed in my previous experience, such as the American Legion Boys State. My aim is to get an AA degree from liberal arts just as well, and to transfer to a prestigious university in order to complete my degree and never try to engineer.
I would also just like to commend you for introducing the students to a boardroom. It took me a long time to figure that one out as an adult, and I think it's wonderful that you're getting an early start, and that's excellent leadership on your part.
Well, one of the things that we've been doing in our FBLA club is we now follow Robert's rules when we host our meetings, and several of my FBLA members are actually on SGA and the SABR committee, so they actually get to do this on a regular basis, which is really nice.
Awesome. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Okay, now we will have a short adjournment because this is our regular annual meeting or organizational meeting. And so I'm going to designate President Gregory as a temporary chair of the board for the organizational meeting to elect a new chair and vice chair of the Board of Trustees.
Thank you, Chair. This is the beginning of our short organizational meeting. It's now open, and I'd like to ask for nominations for the position of chairperson for the time period beginning essentially now. It's September 2025. So any motions for chairperson?
Yes, I'd like to nominate Trustee Goodson for that role.
I'll second that.
And a second. Any other nominations for chair? All right. Seeing none, any discussion? All right. Seeing none. All those in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed?
Nay.
Right. By unanimous vote.
Can somebody take this from me, please?
By unanimous vote, Trustee Goodson is now taking over as chair. Congratulations, Trustee Goodson. Now we ask for nominations for the position of Vice Chair of the Board of Trustees for the time period beginning September 2025. Are there any nominations?
I'd like to nominate Trustee Fuller.
Second.
All right. Any other nominations? All right. Seeing none, any discussion? All those in favor say aye.
Aye. Aye.
Any opposed? Chair. Okay. Seeing none, by unanimous vote, congratulations, Mike. Thank you for staying on as Vice Chair.
Yep.
I now declare the organizational meeting closed, and you can hand off the gavel.
Yes.
I'll call us back into order, and want to welcome everybody back for another fun-filled year here at SCF. Welcome to our new board members, Jennifer, Karen, and Lon. We are awfully glad you're here. Thank you for being here, and we look forward to working with each of you. I'd like to thank President Gregory and my fellow board members for their vote of confidence, and I'll do my very best not to make more than half of you mad at me at any one time. A personal thank you to Rod. His leadership and guidance and leaving me with very large shoes to fill does not go without notice. And we appreciate everything you have done for this board since I've been here. Rod sat next to me in my first year here, and would lean over and try to get me oriented into what we were trying to accomplish and what I was trying to do, and I was completely lost, and he was always there for me, and I appreciate it very much. I only wish that Ryan Moore were here so that I might thank him for his service to this college, especially to the athletic department. I, for one, will miss his banter. He was a good man and a good board member. I'd like to recognize President Gregory and Cassandra Holmes, whatever she is.
Oh, thank you, sir.
And their staffs and those responsible for SCF receiving a Trio SSS grant for $1,360,000. An enhanced SCF nursing grant over $62,000 from the Bishop Parker Foundation and a $100,000 grant from Manton Memorial Hospital. The TRIO Student Support Services Program grant is for the improvement, retention, and graduation rate among low-income and first-generation and disabled students. A very worthwhile grant if I've ever heard of one. And I hope we will use that to do just those things. While the Bishop Parker grant supports innovation enhancements to our nursing program dedicated to reducing medical errors, medication errors, and expanding access to our Spanish-speaking nurses. I know of no other nursing program that does what this program does to reach Spanish-speaking kids. We offer them free of charge their textbooks in Spanish that is translated into English, so they have Spanish and English right next to each other. We have actually Spanish-speaking professors. Now, they must learn English. They have to learn English to graduate. But at least we're going the extra mile to help those kids become nurses. These areas are critical to our efforts to give our communities not just more nurses, but the very best educated nurses. So great job to all of you. That grant. A couple of cautions to our new board members and some housekeeping items, if I could. First of all, we are governed by the sunshine laws of the state of Florida. I'm sure you have thoroughly been briefed on them, And if not, or if you have any questions, please talk to Susan. The essence is that we cannot discuss SCFB matters outside official meetings, period. Everything that is said in our meeting is recorded, is made public, and is reviewed by staff members in Tallahassee. I won't go into how I know this, but it is so. Secondly, we are blessed with an outstanding faculty, and I cannot express strongly enough how proud we all are to work with them. They do it, they do in providing our students with a first-rate education. They are truly very special people, and we thank them for their efforts on our behalf and on behalf of our students. They are represented, and rightfully so, by their union's representation, as we are with our attorneys. Anything said in our meeting concerning compensation could be misinterpreted in contract negotiations months down the road. Please, please, speak your minds. Say what you wish. However, just be aware of your responsibilities to this institution. Everything is on the record. Thirdly, we have never been, since I've been here anyway, a full board. In fact, my first 2 years, we only had 5 members. If one of us missed, we couldn't vote on anything. So now we have 9, and we're very happy to have them. I want every board member to speak as long as they wish on any subject or vote to come before this board, just as much as I want us to be able to get out of here in a reasonable hour. So as long as we are not talking over each other and respectful of our fellow board members, I will continue to go along with our basic open discussions that we seem to have. If and when that is not occurring, I will step in and insist that Robert's Rules of Order be adhered to by having each of you address the chair in order to speak, especially if it is the only way that each of you can be heard. Please don't be alarmed. I have no intention of talking this much at our other meetings.
True.
But as you will understand. God, you're on one tonight, aren't you? Did you start celebrating a little early?
Sorry.
I forgot where I was at. Please don't be alarmed. I have no intention of talking this much at our meeting, but as you will unfortunately see at our next meeting, I need to get some of these things behind us because I simply won't be able to do so in the future. So, now, let's get to the agenda of tonight. Annual reviews, Dr. Hale, Dr. Johnson.
Sir? So as we're in the organizational meeting, we have a few little housekeeping things that we need to do each year. One of the things we do is to review the mission and vision of the institution, and then we'll take, trustees will ask you to take a vote whether you wish to keep the mission or potentially revise the mission. Understand that we are in the year, as I said last year, for those of you who were here last year, we are currently in the year where we're reworking our strategic plan, so there will be a review, revision of the mission vision coming forth in draft form sometime in the spring. So that is already occurring. Additionally, Susan has provided you in the green packets that you have a statement of ethical governance that you can review, it includes knowledge, and return those to Susan. So I'll go ahead and read our current mission. Mission statement. State College of Florida Manatee, Sarasota, guided by measurable standards of institutional excellence, provides engaging and accessible learning environments that result in student success and community prosperity. And following that mission is our vision that the State College of Florida Manatee, Sarasota is the region's first choice for innovative, responsive, quality education, workforce training, and community partnership. And I would just ask that you would consider or discuss the mission as it currently stands and vote to approve or revise, and understanding that the strategic planning committee is working on reviewing those things right now as well and providing new drafts with revisions if necessary.
I have a question. I know that we just went through the process together of getting reaccredited.
Yes.
And I know the mission statement was an issue. Can you remind me if they were, they wanted us to change it, or was it just having to make sure the board was reviewing it?
To make sure the board was formally reviewing. So this thing we're doing right now is kind of what's run out of that process.
Okay.
It's just creating more formal review where a vote's taken and it can be acknowledged. We had been reviewing it, and I've been going over it, but we didn't formalize it by taking the vote.
Do you want to talk over the board? Anybody want to discuss the mission as it's stated? Have any revisions to it, or anyone want to make comment on it?
Can I just a point of clarification? So this has not changed?
No, it has not.
Okay.
We will likely be presenting.
That's what I was thinking. That's what I was clarifying. That to me, there seems no point in changing it now when you're about to undertake a more thorough process.
Any other comment? Hearing on the chair, recognize any motion for the approval?
I move to approve.
Motion made, second. Any further discussion? All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, like sign, motion carries.
Thank you, sir. And I'd like to invite Dr. Tylisha Johnson up. Professor Johnson is a professor in our business program and is also program manager for our entrepreneurship program. And she is chairing our strategic planning committee. She's going to be talking to you a little bit about that process.
Thank you so much. Good evening, esteemed board members. Thank you to President Gregory for entrusting me with this honor. I'm committed to serving in excellence as we step into new beginnings, fresh perspectives, and the opportunity to inspire higher. I'm also grateful to Dr. Hale, our vice chair, and to all of our committee members for their dedication. As you can see here, this is my personal quote. You must always analyze before you strategize. This principle guides our committee's work. Analysis helps us understand where we are and who we serve, so our strategy can be both bold and sustainable. Just as important, you should know that our committee seeks to cultivate a culture of connection that ensures every voice is heard, community, strengthening our culture of belonging, collaboration, which draws on our shared expertise, character, which keeps us transparent and accountable, creativity that pushes us toward innovation, caring, which keeps people at the center, and continuity, which grounds us in our strong foundation as we grow forward. Our cross-functional collaborative work groups for the Strategic Planning Committee is as such, and what this does is it helps to shape a comprehensive strategic plan. These groups bring together individuals from different departments, as you see here, such as academics, administration, and student services, ensuring diverse perspectives and expertise that are considered. By breaking down silos, these foster shared responsibility and collective ownership, making the strategic plan more adaptable, relevant, and inclusive. Collaboration promotes mutual respect across departments, strengthens interdepartmental relationships, and creates unified college culture. Ultimately, these groups are crucial for developing a plan that reflects the needs of all stakeholders and drives the college's future success. As you can see, we have our collaborative groups broken down into stakeholder groups focused on faculty, which we have Aaron Buckley, Dr. Marie Hendry, and Elizabeth Luck. Our staff work group, stakeholder group, is Dean Heather Shehorn, Dr. Kimberly Baxton, and Dr. Rebecca Caskin. Our student-focused stakeholder group is Claire Geiger, Emmanuel A. Thank you. And I'm sorry, so Kayla Yother has actually since been replaced by Dr. Kristen Anderson, since we submitted this slide here. So we do have a change there. Dr. Kristen Anderson is over our TRIO program. And we have our stakeholder group for trustees, administration, and community, who is consists of Meg Hawkins, Dr. Heather Reed, and Stacey Carolla. Our approach and structural design of our strategic planning committee emphasizes bottom-up involvement and active stakeholder participation, which includes student involvement in the strategic planning process. This approach ensures that all levels of the organization, employees, teams, and students are engaged in fostering ownership and alignment with organizational goals. It encourages active participation, ensures decisions reflect diverse perspectives and needs, and builds accountability by involving those directly impacted by the outcome. Our board, administration, and community stakeholder group will now come up to speak to you about our institutional core value survey, and our Meg Hawkins, our director of the library, will come up with her group. I want to encourage all of you that together we have the privilege of shaping a vibrant and dynamic future for this institution, a place where everyone's voice matters. Thank you.
Good evening, President Gregory, board members. I'd like to introduce Dr. Heather Reed. She is the program director for our Health Services Administration programs here at the college, and Stacey Carello, our director of marketing. Our ask of you tonight is to fill out the survey that Susan has so carefully put into your packets. You should have received not only the survey, but a self-addressed stamped envelope. We would encourage you to give some thought and fill out the form, and the due date, if you could get it back to us, please, is October 17th. Where we will be able to take this data and the other data that we're collecting from other stakeholder groups, including the community, as well as administration, which is the group that we're working on. This will all be compiled and contributed with the other data that the entire strategic planning committee is putting together to put forth strategic goals to help guide us all for the next 5 years. So that is our ask this evening. Is there any questions?
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you, Chairman. First, I'll just note in response, there was a question. I think at the last board meeting, you know, we were setting the goals and doing the strategic plan. This is the team that Dr. Hill and Dr. Johnson just introduced, at least part of the team, that is answering the question you asked regarding, okay, well, we know the goals, but how are you actually going to achieve them? So the questions you have are, you know, part of the culture and our institutional values and, you know, mission and vision. You've already heard, but they're the ones that are going to be doing the hard work to say, well, okay, well, how do we actually get it done? How do we meet those goals in each department? So they're doing great work already. Excited to see that product. For my report tonight, I'll just say a few things. One, you have also in your green folder a standard report, although it seems much longer this time for the number of meetings I've had. That's just because we haven't met since, you know, a couple months ago. So the standard meetings have continued, and I can't believe it, but we're already gearing up to go back to Tallahassee for another legislative session, which I know they're hoping doesn't last as long as last time. Another thing that's in your board packet, it is a nice picture of Trustee Collins and a short resume. I'm embarrassing her as sort of like a star pupil here. Trustee Reiner had a great idea, and to your point, you know, Chair, about a new board, and we're thankful that we have nine of you now, but a lot of you are new to each other. So Trustee Reiner suggested, why don't we put together some sort of biography or at least short summary from each of you that we can share. So I've asked Susan to reach out to you. She probably already is. And I just like this particular format, and I think this is the information that you're probably looking for on each other.
You picked me to start?
I picked you to start. You did such a great job. So, yeah, I didn't prep Trustee Collins for that. But, yeah, I just like this format. And I think this is what you had in mind. Is that right, Trustee Ryan? So if you could help get this information to Susan and then share it with each of you. So I know some of you know each other already, but some of you don't. And I think that'd be helpful. That's really it for the President's Report, Chair. I've got more stuff later on.
SCF Employment Update, our HR Director, Paul Berkeley.
Hi, everyone. Good evening. My name is Paul Berkeley. I have the privilege of serving the college as the Director of Human Resources here. We have a great team of HR professionals, and again, we have the privilege of serving the college in its employment needs. So I am here today to talk about employee turnover. Employee turnover is a very, very important topic. It is, aside from employee payroll as an expense, the largest controllable expense that the institution has, and certainly an area to continue to drive growth improvement. So without going too in-depth, I know many of you all know this information, but estimating the true cost of employee turnover, it's a very, very difficult number to measure, right? There are a lot of things that become a part of the cost of employee turnover, some of which are listed up here. The separation costs of losing an employee from exit processing, the loss of productivity during that time, loss of productivity during the vacancy period, during the ramp-up period of a new employee starting. Many estimates are somewhere between 6 and 9 months before someone truly feels comfortable in their new role. So again, it's just a loss of productivity from the outgoing employee to the vacancy period to the ramp-up period for the new employee. Recruitment costs, intangibles, right? It's never fun when you have multiple vacancies, and you know, that can lead to employee burnout. It can lead sometimes to more turnover. You know, certainly a disruption in service depending on the respective area of the college. And then you have onboarding and training costs for bringing someone on. New hire processing, new hire orientation, all of this time really adds up into dollars. And, you know, I know that we all look at, you know, financial statements. These things are really hard to see a financial statement, right? But they are real, and they have an impact on, you know, the institution's mission and how it achieves its goals in a very real way. Interestingly, you know, a lot of people, and this is commonly cited, but, you know, of course, we want to continue to drive, you know, recurring dollars for, you know, recurring money. This is an important topic, right? But the general list of reasons why people leave an organization, total rewards is usually somewhere between 6 and 8 on that list. So there are many measurable things that you can do outside of strictly compensation. Compensation and total rewards, very important topic, right? But there is a lot that an organization organization and the institution can do, and there's a lot that people in this room have done to help help drive that. Generally, when trying to estimate the true cost of employee turnover, there are some large organizations, research-based, that have taken a pretty measurable stab at it. Generally, you can see here 50 to 60% of someone's annual salary for an entry-level role, about 100% of their salary for a professional or a technical role, and it can be up to 200% of someone's annual salary for an executive-type position or a highly technical or highly critical role to the institution. So you can estimate, you know, someone's salary, and you can really start to see the dollars and cents add up. When we drive improvement in employee turnover, that puts the dollars in real student-facing priority areas, right? Again, you may not see it on a financial statement, but this is real money that we can use to drive the organization's mission and to put it in an area that really truly matters, student-facing priorities. If you want to do the quick math, it's not so quick, but this, we're talking millions of dollars when you start to look at this across our organization in terms of an expense to employee turnover. So here is a look at, is a 7-year trend for both total employee turnover and then broken down by voluntary and involuntary. And you can see the trend line for voluntary going down, the trend line for involuntary going up. And you may look at involuntary turnover and you may say, well, that's not going the positive direction. But we all know from our experience in businesses, you know, having a bad employee will often bring good employees down, right? So it's about accountability. It's about doing the right thing for the organization, not allowing, you know, inefficiencies or anything like that, and taking care of them and addressing them in a quick manner when those things do exist. So driving involuntary turnover up, generally considered, in my perspective, a good thing. Involuntary turnover, you know, taking a pretty stark downward trend. And you can see we've generally been between 15 and 16%, and that is right along industry average in higher education for employee turnover. And this past fiscal year, the one that ended 6/30, we were 11.4%, and that is a very marked improvement in a positive way. So that is where we are and where we have been over the past 7 years. And I won't bore you with all these pie charts. Generally, the takeaways in terms of where the turnover comes from. We've taken strategic steps to address particular years of service, and this is not exclusive to SCF, right? But much of the employee turnover happens within certainly the first year, and you can see here nearly half is within the first 2 years of someone's employment. And that can be a number of things from position fit, cultural fit, right? But we've worked really hard to address employees' onboarding, to help them feel like a true part of the organization and help to curb some of that turnover that happens within their onboarding period, among other things. So that's it, and I'm happy to answer any questions that you all have. Yes?
And the involuntary turnover and the voluntary turnover, both going in the directions that we would like them to be going in. There's been a lot of discussion recent couple of years about pay, and our pay is not being competitive, and that would be driving turnover. Your statistics suggest that's not the case when it comes to voluntary turnover, as that's been going down, and if pay was a real issue, that should be going up. Am I reading that right?
So pay is always part of it, right? It's always a motivating factor, and for some more than others, right? And that's a real thing. The other side of that is total rewards, right? I think there's two main drivers to our improvement in employee turnover. Number one, I think it just speaks to the people in this room. The culture certainly set by President Gregory over the past year, the engagement, the connection that people are feeling with their senior leadership led by President Gregory. It's a visible leadership. People feel they're on a first name basis, right? And that, with new leadership, that can drive employee turnover in one way or the other, in a very stark way, either in a good direction or a bad direction. And certainly, I think some of these numbers are reflective of that positive direction and that positive momentum. But the other part that has gone a long way, it isn't compensation, but it's total rewards. We transitioned this past year to state benefits, as many in this room know, and for those that don't, we became a part of the state of Florida benefits system, which was, in most people's estimation, a phenomenally positive move for our employees. And so that goes right back into our employees' households. And so while certainly we've clearly been needing recurring money to really address compensation in the manner that we all want to do, the investment in total rewards in the form of benefits has been huge. And I give the testament from employees all the time. So that's a very real thing.
So would it be fair to sum up and say that combination of pay, full compensation pay and benefits is not a significant issue with turnover among people?
I would not say that it is not. It is not number one, it is not number two, it is not number three.
So it's not significant if it's not that low.
It is not top five significant.
Okay. Thank you.
Yes.
Thank you for your presentation.
Absolutely.
You said I won't bore you with the details, but I love details and I love data, so thank you for it. Question, if you do employee satisfaction surveys, the two that I've had most experience with are Net Promoter Score, would you recommend someone to work here? And then also just the Gallup Q12. To your point, the two that I've seen to be most impacting are, I have a best friend at work, and my superior, my boss, cares about me. And you talked a little bit about that anecdotally. But is that something that you track?
So it hasn't been something that we've done at the institution in a little while. I know many of the people in this room have discussed doing something like that. I know Dr. Hale's area, has engaged with some of those things. So I think it would be a good investment for sure.
Thank you for letting me know that. I think that could be something to consider for the strategic plan. Just tracking how your faculty and staff and students gets that kind of response to it. But there might be other good survey tools, but those are the two that I've found most helpful. And it's really exciting to be able to compare that to other institutions and provide that as a response when people talk about this state college has, higher pay, but we could say, oh, but they're happier over here. I don't know, something to attest to the stories. So thank you.
Paul, two questions. One, over on your bottom left, count by division, help decipher your acronyms, please.
Yes. So this is based on the vice president leadership within the area. So AA for academic affairs. That is the biggest bucket of employees. Certainly, academic affairs led by Dr. Rand, covers a lot. And then FAS, Finance and Administrative Services Foundation, i.e. Institutional Effectiveness and Research, and SSE and Student Services and Enrollment Management.
And then my second question. Is this data available for the other of the Great 28?
Yes, as a large percentage. Certainly not to this breakdown, but we do share those numbers, and they span anywhere from right about where we are up to 20%. So it's a little all over the place, and some of that depends on institutional size as well.
Right, they're not all comparable. I was just curious. So we are in, are we in the, I guess you'd say, the lower quartile of the lower half, lower quartile?
So I'll speak previous to this past fiscal year. Certainly I haven't compared against everybody else with our past fiscal year. Previously, when we were in the 15 to 16%, we were right about in the middle of the pack compared to our peers and like-size institutions.
Got it. All right. Thank you.
Yes. And on the slide, the next one with all those beautiful pie charts, and I don't have my glasses on, but on the colors on the bottom right, would it be fair to say that about 30 to 40% of the population is over the age of 50?
Over the age of, I'm sorry.
51.
About a third, a little more than a third.
It's basically the left-hand side of
yep.
the pie chart, right?
Yep.
Okay. All right.
Any other questions? One thing I would have is lovely statistics. What does it mean to management? What can we derive from management to retain our employees?
Great question. I think the biggest impact that we can drive, certainly from the people who are on this table and in this room, is driving an employee's connection to the institution. And I think that, at least in my time here, it's never been higher. A higher degree of, I feel how my work connects to the institution's mission, its goals, me in human resources, I don't have a direct impact on students, but I have an impact on the people, and I think that feeling, that sentiment is driven by employee engagement, and again, that's done by the folks in this room, not an HR metric, but I think that is the biggest thing that can be done, both short-term and long-term, employees feeling that connection, being on a first-name basis with the people who make these decisions, and feeling how their work contributes to the strategic plan that the institution is driving.
Thinking PIN diplomacy here, do you have a SCF PIN system that recognizes years of tenure, or not tenure, that's not the right word, years of work at employment at the college, or any way of demonstrating?
We don't have a PIN specifically, but we do have a recognition program involving a certificate, a letter from the president, a monetary gift along with that. And so we do have a system. It's not a PIN. I don't know if that was
when what are the gradations, 5 years, 10 years, something to celebrate, you've made it through your second year, we're gonna hang on to you a little bit longer. I'm just curious if that's known throughout the system. I've worked in other institutions where employees recognize, oh, wow, you've been here that many years, and you've been here that many years, and it almost becomes a true goal to earn it. And
yeah.
So I think what you're doing is wonderful, but something also to inspire that same behavior and choice in others.
For sure. Yeah, there's a recognition program for the employee specifically, and then it is recognized in the employee newsletter and different communications, mostly departmentally. But yeah, there's always more that we can do, and we'll continue.
do you also do any sort of like nominate a colleague for excellent service or?
You mean like the Excel program at the hospital?
She might know a little something about it since she's supported it for a long time. But it's not that, you know, a student nominating a professor or a staff member that exists, sounds like?
And it's recognized at graduation.
Oh, okay.
So the student selected faculty recipient is in the spring, I believe, and the presidential one in the fall.
The presidential?
Award selected,
okay.
So that
but
member.
But it's recognized, your only faculty is recognized.
For the student selected faculty member.
But
yes.
do colleagues nominate each other for any sort of?
NYSOD is the other one, which is faculty and staff that are selected for that award, and it's highly recognized. You can see it on LinkedIn. Sorry, I'm stealing your thunder.
Please, yeah.
And then they can attend the conference, have their photo and recognize communication that goes out.
Oh, that's great.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Yeah, thank you very much. Yeah, appreciate you. SCF fall enrollment update. The price.
Welcome. I'm going to give some updates on our fall enrollment. Let me tell you, it's always an honor and a privilege to stand up here, especially when our enrollment is up. So I really want to share some of the details along with a lot of the work that is currently happening. So just some of our fun facts, our county details. Our top two counties, obviously, Manatee and Sarasota County, with 51% of our students coming from Manatee County and 38.5 from Sarasota. We also will see Port Charlotte and some others trickle in there, but that is our main recruitment area. As we can see, and for those of you who have been on the board for the past 4 years, we've had the conversation where you can see percentage by gender. It is slightly up from last year, 64% female, 34.93%. I've been digging into this. I know you too well, Trustee. When I attended the Planet Sarasota meeting, we talked about it because these statistics are across the board. One of the things that Planet Sarasota in our group, because they are also striving for post-high school education, is our main focus from the community standpoint. And an interesting conversation around that was we don't have a ton of wraparound support services or nonprofits that are dedicated to men. We will have PACE Center for Girls, other programs, but they weren't there before, and we haven't started to reinitiate. That was just one point that I had not considered before. So presenting, I had to share that with you today.
Thank you.
I think it's very worthwhile for consideration. Over in this column, this is pulled from August when we started classes. And you can see first time in college, dual enrollment, early education, collegiate school, our continuing education or continuing enrollment, dual enrollment, first time in college. So this was how many students we welcomed for the first time to State College of Florida, and then going through the rest. This puts us today at 5.8% up in enrollment. And that was as of about 5:15. So this is really great information to share. Now, regarding admissions, because it starts with our funnel, we talk about applications all the way through to enrollment. Orientation program, this is when we looked at in-person, online. We do offer orientation in two platforms. They can always access their online orientation at any point to review it as well. So we had 619 come to campus, 762 were online. The best part about this were we were up 13% in orientation completers. So we highly encourage, almost tell them it's mandatory, because it has a ton of really important resources and information to set them up for success when they are coming here. Our yield, so 52% of the students that applied to the State College of Florida ended up enrolling. And I think that's great information to look at. We have gone up with that. That means we have quality applicants. Sometimes there's the misnomer that it's a community college, so they're just practicing submitting applications to us. We really take those applications seriously. We try to engage and connect with them all the way through enrollment and then into their college career. And our overall applications were up 12%. So that is why we are seeing the increase in enrollment along with our retention. Lots of data, lots of information on this. These are our top high schools. So if you want to know how many of our graduates, our high school graduates, there's your running list. Some of you find it fascinating. I do have the last 2 years in my notes in case you want to have a comparison. But the great thing to see, and we know this from our K-12 Florida Department of Education, these numbers are higher. So we, before, our top one, I believe, was Sarasota with about 120 last year. And now we're seeing the increase in their high school graduates starting to trickle over into our enrollment. So you can see that listed. We do have, I know I get the question, Bradenton Christian, some other ones, they are popping up on here. So that's some fun information.
Sorry to
yep.
interrupt, but the GED in state, is that the homeschoolers?
There is homeschooling in state right here as well.
Okay.
Yes.
All
so
right.
It might be a completion type of program.
Is it up?
I will have to. It was not in the top 10, and I don't have the full running list with me.
Just curious.
It's a great question, but I can get that for you. I share this type of information at the beginning of the semester to the entire college. One of the things that's really important to keep in mind is that we don't have new high school graduates. That's not our entire population here. So I like to share this information that of all students, we have 10.34% over the age of 35 that are taking classes. It's important for our faculty to know that. It's important for support services to know that because those needs might be different. Resources might be different. Flexibility and timing may be different. So we do share our age brackets with this. And then first time in college, 13.52 are over 22 years old coming to school for the first time. So I think that's really important. We want to be very cognizant of when we're sending communications. We don't say, congratulations, tell your mom and dad hi, right? We're focusing on really the student being here. And not breaking them into the traditional, non-traditional bucket. So engagement, you've heard it from Paul Burkle. Engagement is significantly up at State College of Florida. There is an excitement, there is an energy, there is a vibe. This is what has been taking place, and I would say cross-divisionally, we have come together to see how we can bring resources together. I will point out just a few of these. Did you ever see Cash Cab? Movie Cash Cab? So we took golf carts and we put our student support services staff on there, our dean of students, and we drove around and we would give them a golf cart ride to their class, and they had to answer questions about the code of conduct. And if they got them right, they got a gift card or they got a prize. We did not kick them out of the golf cart. We did take them. But it was just a fun way to talk about what's your role and responsibility as a student, right? If you have questions, where do you go? How can we help? And then throughout, you can see the different weeks that we are having. This is really important, too, our Get Hired series. Tomorrow, when we're talking about graduation rates, last year we introduced a grad fair. And it was your one-stop shop to make sure you were on track, you applied for graduation, you RSVP'd, or you ordered your transcript, you got your cap and gown, and you could decorate your mortar board if you wanted to. Also check with cashiering. Is everything paid for, ready to go? Do we have any other outstanding scholarships? So that fair is taking place tomorrow in 26th class, along with the other Get Hired series from Discover Your Personal Brand, all the way through our resume reviews. And this will continue into the spring semester as well. Now for some fun facts of our current student population. 208 veterans. Last year, when I presented to you, we had 265. So we have a number of students utilizing the benefits that were either theirs or given to them from family. 87 athletes that are out and about right now. 71 students of concern. Now this is important. Students of concern, anybody can submit a report online for any type of situation. I have a student that I haven't seen in class. I have a student that indicated a family emergency, anything from, I overheard a student say their car broke down, or any type of thing. That report goes into our Dean of Students office. It allows us to follow up with the student right away to just check in, see what's happening. So we want to get ahead of some of the negative things that may impact the student, provide them with the appropriate resources, so that they can focus on their education and continue. Now, some people say that number seems so high since the start of school, August 11th. We really help to educate our faculty and staff to utilize that form. It's the best way for us to track and ensure that students are receiving support services. Now, counseling session, this is just for the month of August. We get our data and information from Crosby Counseling afterwards, so I do not have September's information, but the counseling sessions are definitely increasing. As we know, mental health is a significant component of higher education and education in general. Our tutoring center has already seen 3,535 types of sessions, and 66% of them who go in there to check out resources, to receive just space to do their stuff, and end up meeting with a tutor or attending a workshop. And the workshops can be anything from nursing T's prep tests to math, science, and into many other skills-based learning. Our disability resource continues to go up. We had about 580 last year. We're up to 601 with students who have accommodations. And then you can see students are attending events. And last year, I just want to highlight, we attended 178 school visits last year for the recruitment, and we held 29 field trips. And now I'll show you this year. One thing I want to highlight, every high school in Manatee County has a tour of SCF scheduled. Sarasota is currently working on it. So we will see all of those students here. We also will be attending 24 FAFSA workshops in collaboration with REACH Manatee, or LCAM, and Planet Sarasota. And we already have 129 visits and 10 field trips scheduled. So our team is not slowing down. We do have an open house. This is in full collaboration. Faculty will be here, departments will be open, and so we are welcoming everyone. If you want to share the information, it's October 21st from 4 to 6. No RSVP required, just come join us. So that's what we're doing for enrollment. Any questions?
Any questions?
I have a question. On the one where you were talking about where the students come from, I do find it fascinating that three of them are in Sarasota County and two of them are in South County, which obviously impacts Venice campus a lot. It's also a super fast growing place. So I'm wondering if you have, I mean, is that what's hopefully driving those increased numbers from Northport and Venice, is the growth of, you know, Loudoun Park and the rest of the Northport area?
I would say the growth, but also they're engaging more. So anytime there's an opportunity for us to get into a classroom, we're working with that also to have them be a part of the campus. So Venice has certainly seen enrollment growth. We've also, thanks to Dr. Rand, increased curriculum opportunities and availability, because if they don't have the classes they want, they're not going to come. So we're really working on looking at our overall schedule.
Thanks.
Can I have another one, please? I love how you have broken down and provided a more a very full picture of who the student body is. There's not just one size, you know, fits all, no one's in the box. Two other questions I have about that are, what percentage of your students are parents?
and what percentage of them do not have English as their first language? Do you have a sense of either of those?
The parents' data is a little tricky. We are coming to the close of our C-Campus grant, which is Child Care Access Means Parents in School. That data had to be divided between FAFSAs that were completed, but only of those that completed them, and also we did a survey for it to be self-reported. So it's not easy to capture the parent side of it, so I don't have the data at my fingertips for that. English as a second language, we could, I don't know how I would do that. So it's not something we do. We do have our education program that will take them through it, but I haven't run that.
I remember when I first joined the board and we spoke, you said that if a college sustains a certain percentage of students that identify as Latino, was that the right thing? Which doesn't necessarily mean English
Correct.
Is your second language.
Correct.
So I don't want to muddy the waters there, but just in terms of thinking about the services that a school provides to help students be successful, thinking about the nursing program that we're trying to promote and grow, just thought that would be helpful information, especially thinking about strategic planning. How do we serve the very unique needs of parents going back to school, for whom certainly this is going to make a huge difference for their families' well-being and earning potential, like the generational impact.
Generational, yes.
And then also just what types of resources we build as the demographics of our state continue to trend toward Spanish-speaking.
Right. So I did not put the information up, but we do hover around 25%
of Latino.
Yes, our Hispanic student population. So that has remained pretty flat, if not gone up a little bit. Ryan, would you echo that?
Yeah. It's remaining relatively.
The largest component, I would say, is with our parents. One of the things that I've been doing is looking at our community foundations, our education foundations, because they do have a lot of programs that they run, and understanding the criteria. Is it just a single mom? Is it a single parent? How do they define the criteria? Our student life, they fundraise for a single parent scholarship that they give back to the class. Mm-hmm. So that is something that we try to do here. And then along with students of concern, anytime there's information of childcare issues or needs, we try to step in, whether that's contacting Hope Florida to try and see what resources are available in our community that maybe we're not providing directly, but we can be that conduit to link them to nonprofits or others that are really built to help support.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. That makes sense. Okay. Thank you.
You're welcome.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Move on to our non-financial consent agenda. Are there any exhibits that a board member wants to take out? Hearing none, the chair entertain a motion to adopt the financial consent agenda.
So moved.
Second.
Motion is second. Any further discussion? All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, like sign. Before we get into the approval of the financial consent agenda, I am remiss in not introducing Mrs. Jennifer Price, our new CFO, financial guru. In our packets, the green packet, we have from you a fund balance spending plan. I think maybe you ought to address that so everybody knows what we're looking at.
Sure. Well, first of all, thank you, everyone, for allowing me to work here. I'm so excited to be here at my first board meeting and talk about finances. Please take a look at this. This is the annual carry forward fund balance spending plan. This is a requirement set forth by the state for our institution. And basically what it's asking us to do is take a look at our fund balance, our unrestricted operating fund balance, and lay out a spending plan that directly supports stability, student programs, and operational resilience. Basically, they want to make sure we're not just letting our funding sit idle. We're supporting the mission of the college. We're required also by statute to hold in reserves 5% of our unrestricted fund balance. You'll see that calculation down at the end. But in terms of the calculation, we take our total, you know, net reserve, take out that minimum reserve, and then we're tasked with creating a spending plan for those remaining funds. As part of that plan, in the first section of what you're looking at where it says updated commitments, these are amounts that we are currently committed to spend through our budget and through this fiscal year that we'll use fund balance monies. We have some state-specific grants and self-supporting funds where we're still carrying out those programs for the funding received. We have some prior year spends that haven't quite yet been completed, but they will be completed in this next year with these funds. We had some previously approved capital outlay and equipment monies that we'll need to spend. And then we had just contingency set aside already and some non-recurring expenses. For future commitments then, I know you all are aware, most of you are aware, with the change to the state health insurance plan, there were some differences in budget funding. At the end of the day, it was pulled, so we were tasked to come up with that gap coverage for at least 3 years. The $2.46 million represents our plan to fund that shortfall for the next 2 years. And then finally, we are proposing to set funds aside for continued maintenance, renovation, equipment, and some retention. Finally, we're also required to hold funds back at a calculation based on our insured value for any expenses due to a hurricane or other disaster that may happen. Knock on wood, we're doing pretty good this year. But that amount is $4.5 million. So this just sets forward our plan to the state for the responsible use of those funds in the next year. They may or may not all be expended, but this is our plan.
Thank you. Welcome aboard. Any questions? Okay. Approval of the financial consent agenda. Are there any exhibits that anyone wants to take out? Okay.
I move that we approve the financial consent agenda with the revised Exhibit O that we just heard about.
Motion or second?
Second.
Motion or second. Any further discussion? All in favor say okie dokie.
All right.
Okie dokie.
All opposed say nay. Facility project list, page 119, Vice President Warren.
Well, you just pulled a rod. That's information on it.
What?
What?
You want to talk about it?
No, it's unless there's questions on it.
That's just for informational purposes.
Informational purposes. Okay. Facilities. Now you've done.
No. For the new board members, in many years, I have never seen this amount of presentation at one board meeting. So, Trustee Goodson's off to a great start.
We're going to have the longest meeting in the history.
Oh, no.
I'm going to move quickly. It's been since June since we last got together. We did finish some nice summer capital projects. I want to share some pictures with you. I'm requesting two projects to be approved by the board, one the Venice Collegiate School, and the second one is the Parrish Collegiate School. And I'm real quickly, because we have some new board members, going to zip through and share a little bit of data on our four campuses for SEF. We're on Bradenton campus. We're 39 buildings, just over 650,000 square feet. First buildings were late 50s, early 60s, and every decade since there's been development on this campus. We've got our Venice campus, we've got West Village and 41 that are the boundaries. This was mid-80s construction. We did put a science building up there about a year and a half ago.
19 buildings, just over 175,000 square feet. Our Lakewood Ranch campus, two buildings, just at 80,000 square feet. Maybe you got one that was built in 2003, the other was built in 2010. About 10 acres there, 100 acres on this campus, and 100 acres at Venice. We're about fully built out here. We use about 30 of the acres at Venice. So there's a lot of wetlands and stormwater retention ponds and that type of thing. And then Parrish. So this is a 2018 conceptual master plan. You got Erie Road on the south, and you got Fort Hammer on the east side. Fully built out, it's about 78 acres, about 9 acres of wetlands. If you were to build multi-story buildings, you fit about 14 buildings, 350,000 square feet. Puts you somewhere between the size of Venice and the Bradenton campus. So on the Parrish campus, we do have phase one development. This box here, the building now is oriented this way. The entrance is off Fort Hammer. It's a 45,000 square foot building, $39.2 million budget. We'll be at the October board requesting approval of the construction contract. And groundbreaking is October 30th with a spring of 2027 completion. So we're really excited about that. Projects that we've completed, and this is a good variety of the types of things. 13 years that I've been here, not only the Cinderella Castle, the new buildings, but a whole lot of infrastructure. We have completed about 300 projects, putting us over just about $85 million in the 13 years. This is radiography, not only an equipment replacement, but a space remodel. Most, all these spaces have probably gone 20, 25 years without seeing any kind of refurbishment. You got front of house, you got back of house, just as important, our deferred maintenance. This is our science building, rooftop units. These are your fan units that support all the fume hoods and the air handling units. Multi-million dollar project that's completed over summer. The board did approve the replacement of this roof. That'll be a December time frame, end of the dry season while we do that. Occupational therapy, they do use a kitchen as part of the teaching environment. Again, it was 25 years old, we finished that up. And then a three-court beach volleyball court that Brittany's so excited about.
Yeah.
Page 120 of your board packet, you're going to find my first board memo requesting project approval for the Venice Strategic School. So you've got 9th and 10th graders that live in these 5 portables, plus 5 classrooms on the first floor of the adjacent building, which is 800. The purpose of this project is to create a permanent building. Get rid of the portables. They were on Bradenton for about a decade. We brought them there, refurbished them. And then we can get the students out of 800, open up 5 college classrooms, increase the classroom capacity to support the enrollment growth that's happening on Venice. So it's a win-win for everybody. Going to notes here, and I don't think Karen Peck's here, but the Puget School Administration, working with them, we worked through the programming of the new Puget School at Venice. Of course, it's academics, it's administration, it's food service, cafeteria, auditorium, the courtyard, you know, we're addressing the student drop-off and bus and parent. When you think of that entire program, it drives about a 22,000 gross square foot need. We looked at the site, here's building 800 at the bottom, the portables are adjacent to it. Actually, looking at the site, it's best suited to be up on the other side of the parking lot adjacent to the pond. That'll definitely allow a more efficient collegiate school operation and minimize the impact of the college operation. So that site really works out well. Funding for the project, it's public educational capital outlay, say PICO money, it's foundation donor money, and it's capital reserve money. Kind of projecting out when we receive all that funding, we're assuming that construction pricing would be received mid to late 2027, which would drive a $16 million budget. The 21 in your board packet, you can see my board memo requesting project approval for the Parish Community School. There is currently great interest from a donor on helping with this project. We started looking at this site. That conceptual master plan that I showed you had the Cleated School sited across from the Parish High School, which in reality, we placed it up into the northeast corner of the property. There's your 45,000 square foot building that's going to start construction. There's more critical importance of the adjacencies between the Cleated School and the college than the high school. The Cleated School kids use the library, the tutoring, the science labs. So it made sense to be all pulled in up in that northeast corner. So our intent is to go ahead and design the Venice Cleated School, and then we duplicate the Venice design and use it for the Parish property. And then we modify and adjust it for site conditions. And it saves huge on design costs for Parish, and you can imagine the design efficiencies that we'll gain by sharing that. So our intent, if I've received approval for the project this evening, we follow the Consultant Competitive Negotiation Act, the CCNA, or a statute, and we select an architect and we select a construction management firm. And the intent is to use both teams for both projects. They're separate projects, but we use the same architect, the same CM on Venice and Parish. Design efficiencies, construction efficiencies, improved quality on Parish, improved schedule, which is going to drive definitely drive a positive on the cost side of the house. So based on that, I'm requesting board approval for the Venice Cleated School.
Thank you, Chris. Members, I'll just, and trustees, I'll just mention that the $16 million ask here, this is really telling me and the college get to work, go to the legislature, you know, work with our donors and go collect that money. If you're of course approving the project, approving us to go forth and do that both in Venice and Parish, but you're not approving this money coming out of Fund One or anything like that.
I'm going to make a comment before we move forward, and this is specifically for our new members. Some insight into our Cleated Schools boards long before us decided to get into the Cleated School business, which they did with calculable results. Our students lead in every single educational category. You'll see page 41 and the bottom 46. It'll demonstrate that to you. We are above not only Manatee and Sarasota County schools, but the state of Florida in general. Our graduation rate is 100%, pages 57, 58, and 59. From a financial standpoint, our schools are at a positive cash flow since their inception. With the board's decision to go into a charter school business comes responsibilities, one of which is that our students learn in an environment conducive to the wonderful education that they are receiving. That is to say, they should not be housed in temporary wood portable buildings. They deserve a building that they and we can be proud of. This proposal, the Vice President just went over with you, starts us down that path. And I think it's very important. We turn out great students, they get great educations, and we get positive cash flow. It's a win-win for everybody. And I strongly hope that the board will approve moving forward with these two projects, and the chair would accept a motion to do so.
Do we need to do both at once or one at a time?
Two different budgets.
Right. So two different. Let's take Venice first since it's on the board.
Second.
Motion to adopt Venice. Second by Ken. Thank you. Any other questions?
Question.
Go ahead.
So my understanding right now is that Venice is just 9 through 12 grades.
9th and 10th in the school and then 11 through 12.
Would we just expand it to go down to 6th grade as well, or is this just a capacity for 9th?
That was an answer, but I think it is no. It would stay at 9th and 10th. Right?
And the same for Parish, I assume?
Yeah. Same thing for Parish right now, proposed for 9th, 10th, 11th, 12th.
Okay, and is there expansion within the building for
Is there room for expansion at some point for middle school? Yeah, okay.
Okay, any other questions? Call for the vote, all in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, like sign. Motion carries. Parish Collegiate School.
For the Parish Collegiate School, again, the funding source is PICO Foundation and Capital Reserve. We're making the assumption that this school would be a one-year lag on the Venice. So that would be construction pricing received into late 2028, put the budget to $16.9 million, same 22,000 gross for it. So request some board approval for the Parish Collegiate School project.
Is there a motion?
I move approval.
Second.
Second. Any further discussion? All in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, like sign, motion carries.
Thank you.
Pending rule revision. Dr. Proud?
Dr. Proud. My mother would be so proud. Thank you, Mr. Chair, I'll be brief as well. This is a proposed revision to this rule. It's only here for your first view tonight. We're not going to act on it tonight. This is affectionately referred to, perhaps only by me, as the Alexander Haig rule. It instructs the college on who's in charge in the event, in the unfortunate event, that the president is unable or unavailable to do his job. It reflects changes that are driven by reorganization and simply by changes of title. It'll be back next month for your further attention.
Great. President Gregory, goals, presidential 2024-2025 completed goals.
Thank you, Chairman. Trustees, you also have this in your green folder. Recall that the way the president's contract is structured, the compensation model includes a base pay, some money in there for goals and achievement of those goals, and then a separate category of pay for supplemental compensation. And so the contract required us to set out at the beginning of the year specific goals. We briefed you on them at the halfway point. These are those eight goals. This is our response to, you know, completion of all those goals. And I would just say, to summarize, we've met these goals with two exceptions, really, that I'll point out. Number two, we had as our goal completion of the reaffirmation of process, the accreditation process with SAC-COC. As you know from prior meeting, we successfully resolved 32 out of their 33 reaffirmation findings that they had in April. We still have one more to go, and we'll be reporting on that one this summer. And number four, I would just say we changed the goal on you. As we were at the beginning of the year, we were planning to utilize an onboard Lucian experience, and Dr. Hell and his team figured out we don't really need to do that. We could use our own existing banner platform, thereby saving us the $43,000 we would have spent to onboard a new software platform. You can see the narrative on each of the eight goals and the percentages that you allocated to each of them and the total possible awards. And there's blanks in there for you to determine as a board and your total sole discretion how much you should be awarded for this part of the compensation in my contract. There's another thing I want to bring to your attention too, and I've brought it up at prior meetings. I've spoken to you about it, and that is what I pointed out at the beginning. My contract breaks out my compensation into a base pay, which comes with all the additional financial, you know, the college has to kick into retirement funds and the other costs associated with base pay. That's number one. Number two is this goal money, and number three is financial compensation, and a third bucket called supplemental. As I indicated to you that I would probably recommend, and I am going to recommend, after seeing how this process works during this year, I would recommend you eliminate this first part of the compensation for me. I think having these separate goals kind of distracts me and the team for what we're trying to achieve, and it's money that I can't give out to other employees. So I, you know, for the reasons that I've already brought up to the board, I think that you should eliminate that portion of it. There's a couple of other little things in the contract that are compensation as well that I bring to the board's attention that I don't need them. I'm totally fine if you want to eliminate them. There's a provision in there for an annual executive physical, and there's a $5,000 membership fees and dues that I could claim, but I don't intend to. So in total, I'm saying going forward, there's $45,000 in total compensation that at the board's discretion, if you want to remove that. I do think that you should remove the goal piece of it. And I'll just say that historically, over the last 10 years, you've been granting or awarding, in your discretion again, between 90 and 100% of the goal money anyway. So it's kind of become an easy process, an easy win for the president. And because it's distracting, I would remove it anyway. Then I would leave to the board if you want to, you know, make any adjustments in supplemental or otherwise. But I would, and I'm going to step out of the room when you talk about this, by the way, both for goals and the contract. I do want to state very clearly, the last thing I would want you to do is increase my pay. I don't want the, you know, total compensation to increase here. That's not what I'm asking for. In fact, our contract, as you structured it, has a provision that says my salary only changes as the college employee's salary changes. Totally fine with that. So you can see where you wouldn't want to, you know, as a result of any decisions you make tonight, increase my total compensation. I think that would violate the existing contract, and it wouldn't send the right message when we are struggling to give any recurring raises. So
you're the worst negotiator.
I am going to sign. I'm going to sign what you bring to me to sign, Trustee Collins. Yeah.
I think there's caveats here that, with the board's permission, I'd like to explore with the president and bring you back some recommendations to it the next meeting, if you don't mind. I don't think there's any urgency since the guy that wanted more money anyway.
So you're just, sorry, I'm clear. You're willing to discuss with him and then come back at the next meeting to present to all of us here.
Okay. And I might bring Steve in on the case.
I have a, because I do this for a living, I have a checklist of executive benefits. Would that be helpful to you?
Sure. I want the guy to stick around for a while.
Well, I like it because I agree with you. I don't want to just throw money at him. I want him.
Oh, we're not going
to
do that.
Well, it doesn't sound like we're going to get to.
You don't
so.
Have to worry about that.
Yeah.
Now,
yeah.
Maybe raising the chair's wages.
You can double them.
But I always like to use it as an idea generator, so we're not just, you know, throwing
you
cash.
Get my email, I think. That'd be great.
Chair, are you talking about for the goals, too? You want to handle that offline, or do you want me to step out and you guys can
no,
figure it out?
We'll handle it next week.
Okay. Sounds good.
Even if we do it next month, Mr. Chairman, we still probably need to have a full discussion about it on the board here.
I agree.
Okay.
I agree 100%. I'll come back and we'll talk about it next month. If it was some sort of thing we need to get to, I would do it. Because I've just seen it for the first time. I haven't even read this. You haven't read it. I think it'd be best, but the President and I have a one-on-one. Where am I? Mrs.
Sandra.
Holmes, foundation up there.
This is definitely not a typical board meeting. My name is Cassandra Holmes. I'm the Vice President of Advancement and Executive Director of State College of Florida Foundation. And I have worked here 12 years,
yay.
And it has been a pleasure to raise money to benefit students, our programs, and several of our capital projects. We will be discussing today some exciting news. I guess you heard a little bit about our groundbreaking that will be happening on our parish campus on October 30th. Some of you have not RSVP'd yet. And so we would like you to do that. Susan will be sending out a reminder. You simply click on the button. It will bring you to the RSVP area. There also is a map, because I do understand not everyone goes to parish on a regular basis. And so many of our donors that will be there that day, we have a handy map so that everyone will not get lost. The instructions I would like to leave you with today is we need you to arrive at 10 o'clock. The program will not start until 10:30, but there is going to be trolley service that will pick you up at the Parish Community Park of North River, and then it will take you to our property. Please do not park at our property because we do not have a suitable parking lot for you yet. Remember, this is raw land, and so we have, yes, and so you will park at the community park, and then we will ferry everyone over for our program. We'll start promptly at 10:30.
What's your dress code going to be?
The dress code, you will have lots of photography taken of you, so if you could dress maybe country club casual or better, that would be lovely. Of course, being on the trustee board, you will have the golden shovels and the construction hats. And so these are iconic photographs for our institution, as these will be stored in our archives. And so we are very excited that we have a full board, and all of you, I do hope, can make time for that.
I would suggest that high heels might be a little rough.
It is. That would be a little tough.
You can't wear your Jimmy Choo's, Mark.
I would suggest flats.
This might help the girls out.
We do have some hard surfaces for some of our donors that do have some challenges as far as standing for long periods of time. We will have seating, and we will have reserve seating for our trustee members because we do need you to be more towards the front of the area. All right? Okay, so let's kick it off with a recommendation from the Board of Directors of the Foundation. We are asking you today, we have a donor that is wanting to give us a gift of $2 million, and it is my pleasure to present this recommendation to you today. We don't do this at every trustee meeting. I just want to kind of plug that this is a transformational philanthropic gift. It is cash. There is not land or highly appreciated stock or anything like that. We are asking for the Board of Trustees to approve this recommendation for naming one building on our Bradenton campus, which is the Dr. William H. Jervey Jr. SCF Collegiate School on our Bradenton campus, and that institution does go from 6th grade to 12th grade. And it is one building. On our Venice campus, we will have two buildings. The first building will be the Dr. William H. Jervey Jr. SCF Collegiate School. And the second building will be the Dr. William H. Jervey Jr. SCF Collegiate School Auditorium. Are there any questions? Yes.
I have a comment. Well, a couple of comments. First one is the two buildings in Venice, it was one building, but it just looks better to break it apart. So that's why it's two buildings right next to each other. But more importantly, Cassandra's not taking the proper credit. This is the biggest gift in our history. Biggest gift in our history. This was within my first couple of days. Cassandra, well-deserved appreciation for you and your team.
Thank you.
You've been working this for a long time.
I do thank, you know, meeting President Gregory and understanding that he's a statesman and loves Pepsi and Coke. Because at the foundation, we sit at the table of trust, and we all make sure that all donors feel honored, because higher education really is a convener of philanthropy and solves so many of our social ills. So this is such a big historical gift for our institution, and we're very, very proud of it. And it took all of us, the people back there, the people in this room. History is kind of unique, and the fact that he was driving around Venice and got lost, and then he met this friend of his, Shannon Staub, and Shannon goes, I need you to meet Cassandra. And so then we started having conversations, and he has other gifts that he is bestowing upon this foundation and our institution. And so he is really, we will be the largest benefactor of his legacy gift as well. Yes.
Great job.
Mm-hmm. Thank you.
Okay, Chair, I'll entertain a motion to approve the naming recommendations as presented.
I just have a question, and I think I don't want to be remiss if we don't ask, but I assume he has passed all the investor plan checks in terms of donor and everything like
meaning
that.
The morality part of that. Yes. You are going to get to meet him,
He's an amazing
and I know that Mr. Prouty, we have a memorandum of understanding with him,
okay.
So that is definitely an out clause, if anything, immoral and ethical that would ever damage the brand of this fine institution.
It's part of the gift acceptance policy?
Yes, it is.
All that, those checks? And
yes.
I'm assuming the foundation is also recommending this.
Yes.
Okay. Absolutely. I just want to make
sure. Good question.
Yes. Very good question.
I'll for it then. I'll make the motion.
Motion to
second.
Second. Any further discussion? Can we cash a check first before we check?
It'll be a wire transfer.
Anyway. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, like sign. Motion carried. Anything else?
Okay. I have one more slide. I wanted you to know what he looks like. Because you're going to get to meet him at your October board meeting in Venice. And he is so excited to meet each one of you. And so we'll have our Venice board members with us from the foundation, so he won't be sitting alone out in the gallery. And he would like to say a few words to this fine board, just to share his passion for your work and the work of our faculty and our students. And he just wants to kind of convey that as to why this institution is so important to him. And so I thought, since you're in Venice, it'd be a great time for all of you to get to meet Dr. Jervy. We have Lake Jervy on our Venice campus, and we also have the Jervy Library. So he can talk a little bit as to why that is. And so I thought it'd be a great sharing moment for you to meet one of our major donors. Thank you.
And Chris, don't refer to it as pond. Especially in front of him. Okay, thank you.
Yeah. Thank you. Great job.
You,
great job. Wonderful job. Old business. Any old business? Any new business? Board comments. Lon, would you like to start out?
I have none.
Nothing. Okay. Taylor, you always have something.
No, this was full of information, wasn't it?
Ms. Rose?
Honored to be here. Great presentation, so very informative, and thank you for those.
Michael?
I just want to thank Rob for your service,
mm-hmm.
and your leadership and time on the board. Other than you screwed up right at the end, the rest of the board, you did really, really well. Yeah, so that's good. We're looking forward to Mr. Goodson's leadership.
Mr. Johnson?
Well, first of all, I would like to say that my time as chair on the board the last 2 years has been an honor, been grateful for the trust that the trustees placed in me in doing that. I tried to carry it out faithfully. There's a few hiccups along the way. But we got a new president during it, so that worked out all right. And speaking of that, so when I was speaking on something earlier and I was asking some questions about the retention going up and down, I do think that President Gregory has created a culture that's, I'm not sure if I'd say better because Dr. Postfeld did an awesome job, but that's different and that is well appreciated on the campus and among people that I've talked to. I have not gone around asking opinions, but some have been volunteered, and they have been resoundingly positive on it. And so I'm sure that probably does in chairman. I'm grateful to pass it on to Mark. I think he'll do a terrific job, and look forward to continuing to work with all of you.
Ditto to Trustee Fuller. Thank you for your service to this board and setting a great example for me when I was the newest board member to join a year ago. I want to say thank you so much to Trustee Biggs and Trustee Fuller for stepping into these new leadership roles. I look forward to that. And to double down on what you said, I think A players attract A players. So President Gregory, no coincidence that we have a great new CFO. Look forward to getting to know you. Jennifer, thank you for coming. And that we have three new board members whose biographies precede them. So thank you for setting that tone.
I just want to say thank you for the warm welcome. I'm very honored to be here.
And you're Jennifer, not Linda. Is that right?
No, Dave. I answered it pretty much.
Wonder why we kicked you off.
Yeah, really.
All right. I have nothing. I've said enough tonight. Thank you for everybody's attention. I appreciate it very much. We are adjourned.